Welcome to the Spanish Arpada. I'm Sarah.
And I am Peter.
And we are ranking and reviewing all of the rulers of Spain from Leovigild to Felipe VI. And today we are going to talk about Sunifred, the Count of Barcelona.
All right.
This is actually our second go through at this. We finally fell victim to the podcast recording curse where we finished recording and I listened to it and it was terrible.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. I have notes. And now I go back over my notes and I realize, you know what, I might as well be hearing this for the first time because my notes are gibberish.
you didn't hear me very well last time. Yeah,
right, exactly.
I had the wrong microphone input and so my entire side was unusable. Right. I fiddled with it for forever, couldn't make it any better. But now
I have a lot of dates and names and all of them have question mark in parentheses afterwards because I couldn't be absolutely sure that I had heard it correctly.
Well, this time let's be a little clearer. So this is Sunifred, which is S-U-N-I-F-R-E-D.
Yes.
And Sunifred was the Count of Barcelona after a very wild and wonderful countship of Bernard of Septimania.
Which was a fun little excursion into just utter incompetence.
Oh, yes. Well, he didn't start out that way, Bernard.
No.
Because when he became the Count of Barcelona in 827, he really impressed the King of the Franks at the time, Holy Roman Emperor Louis the Pious.
Right.
And was the Chamberlain for a while. And then we had the issue where we had Bernard's fall from grace, court politics. He was accused of sleeping with the empress. Yep. So that's a problem. Now, Louis the Pious, as his name suggests, he was very pious and very forgiving. So even though Bernard reacted to this treachery by fleeing the court and joining a rebellion of Louis the Pious's son. He was forgiven for everything, but he was stripped of the counties of the Spanish March. So he was no longer Count of Barcelona.
Right.
This happened in 832. So then Louis the Pious appointed some people who were more loyal to him in these county ships. Now, the County of Barcelona went to Berengar, I think you remember.
Yes.
But there were some other counts that were loyal to Louis the Pious that were appointed to some of Bernard's other counties, and one of these was Sunifred, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Sunifred was appointed the Count of Cerdanya and Urgel, and then Sunifred's brother Sunyer was appointed to some other county ships in the Spanish March, and they were very loyal to the Carolingians, very loyal to Louis the Pious.
Again, you know, knowing what side your bread is buttered on is a good thing to know, and Louis is always a safe bet.
Yes. Well, he's the Holy Roman Emperor. And then I think I mentioned that I was going to do an episode on Berengar, the Count of Barcelona, but I ended up not doing it because this is really the only important thing that happened while Berengar was Count of Barcelona.
Right.
Is that Sunifred was appointed a countship.
Exactly. The guy is basically a footnote in someone else's more interesting story.
And then, of course, we had the issue where Bernard of Septimania came back as the Count of Barcelona. Because
the
Berengar
whole non-consecutive
died.
Terms. Yes, he did. On his way to the... Yeah, I mean, just... anyway.
Yeah, on his way to the meeting that was going to decide once and for all who was going to be Count of Barcelona, because Bernard still had a lot of power in the area, and Berengar dies on the trip.
Which, I mean... Talk about efficiency. You know, we didn't have to have the meeting at all.
No, exactly. This meeting literally could have been an email because, you know what? One of the parties is no longer attending.
Yeah, I'm permanently AFK, so go right ahead.
So Bernard becomes the Count of Barcelona again, but the other people who were put into positions of power, like Sunifred and Sunyer, remained. They were not removed. Because they were more loyal to Louis the Pious than the King of Aquitaine, who was Pippin at this time.
Right.
Didn't matter.
Right.
They got to keep their captions.
I'm sure that everyone's attitude was essentially, well, yes, he's taking over, but if his track record is anything to go by, he'll be gone within a month. So.
Well, his second time around was not very successful. He was not super present in Catalonian affairs. He did not really do such a great job. Actually, he was appointed minders by the court. People had to come and watch over him and make sure that he was following the law.
And wearing pants, one imagines. I mean, there's a certain level of, are we Weekend at Bernie's-ing this guy? Is that what's happened?
Well, it's not quite what has happened, but during
did they both die on the way to the meeting, and just one side had the nerve to say, "No, no, the corpse is really alive."
Well, during Bernard's second tenure as Count of Barcelona, which was 835 to 844, Barcelona was not as important as it had been before because their count was basically missing in action.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He was just not there. He was not checked into affairs in Barcelona.
Or reality, apparently.
Well, this turned out to be really great for Sunifred.
Sure.
Right? Because there's a lot of things that still need doing and still need to happen in the Spanish Marches, and this is an opportunity for one of the other counts, in this case Sunifred, to stand out.
Sure. I mean, you've got the power, but not the title, basically.
Yes. Well, interestingly enough, this is kind of a parallel to Bernard, because when Bernard was first starting out, he caught the attention of Louis the Pious.
That's
because
right.
he did really well at holding off an attack of Al-Andalus.
Right. The Moors are always invading.
Yes. Well, there was that uprising in Barcelona, Aissol, and Berra's son, Willimundus, who were trying to take the county ship back for Cordoba. And it was a pretty bloody and protracted affair, but Bernard was able to hold them off for a lot longer than anyone
one would have expected. Yes, exactly.
Than one would have expected. Yes. So Sunifred has something very similar happen at the beginning or at this time when Bernard is just no longer there, when he is the Count of the Spanish March, right? In 841, the Moors invaded Barcelona again.
Aha.
This is probably because they were not very satisfied at the result from their first invasion, right? They didn't really get what they wanted.
They'd heard about the tapas, and they knew that that's really the only place to get it.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, no, we've talked about the fact that their motivation was undoubtedly restaurants.
Yes, well, Barcelona is a great place to go. I highly recommend it. Have been several times. The beaches are very nice. There's something for everybody.
Right.
I didn't mention this 841 invasion in Bernard's episode because he simply wasn't there.
He was
not really doing anything of help. Right.
Yeah. There's a certain yacht poetry quality to a lot of his later reign.
So Sunifred is the one that steps up here, mostly because the invasion first went through Cerdanya, which he is the count of, but he ended up basically being the point person, the lead general, to push this invasion back. Yeah, and he's the one that's going to have to deal with this, but he did a really great job.
His career thus far is defined as stepping up to the plate.
Yes, exactly. So he halted the progress of the Moors, again, all by himself.
Yes.
And Charles the Bald, because Louis the Pious has now passed, Charles the Bald gained a lot of respect for Sunifred because of this.
As one does, yes.
So in 844, when Bernard of Septimania was finally executed for treason.
Yes, absolutely.
On the order of Charles
the Bald. Surprising absolutely no one.
No one was surprised. Except maybe Bernard. Maybe he thought that he wasn't actually ever going to get caught.
Well, Bernard being Bernard at this point, they probably just told him there was a surprise party out in the courtyard.
But the upshot of this is that when it comes time to name a new Count of Barcelona, Charles the Bald names Sunifred.
Of course.
So 844, this is when Sunifred becomes the Count of Barcelona officially.
Okay.
So we have a new source, actually, this week. It's called the Annals of Saint Bertrand. We are no longer with the life of Louis the Pious.
Oh.
Because Louis the Pious, of course, has passed.
I was going to say, I mean, he is dead. So technically, you do have to stop the book there.
Right, so we are not going to be hearing from the astronomer anymore, which is kind of a bummer. I did enjoy saying the astronomer says.
Yes, and we had to hear about how, of course, you could never trust Bernard. He was a Capricorn or words like that. Anyway.
Well, some words of that nature, yes.
Sure.
Well, so now we have the Annals of St. Bertrand, and it's pretty sparse. It is not nearly as interesting. Yeah, here's what is the quote about Bernard of Septimania. Bernard, Count of the Spanish March, had for a long time now had great plans and thirst for the heights of power. He was found guilty of treason by one of the Franks and was executed in Aquitaine on Charles's orders.
Wow. I mean,
that's the whole.
Yeah, that is, boy, talk about bullet points.
Yeah, it was really just like this, that, done.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's several chapters worth. But okay, all right.
Yep. So at this time, the larger context is that Aquitaine is in the middle of another uprising. This is not Louis the Pious's son, Pippin, but Pippin's son, Pippin II.
Maybe don't name your sons Pepin from now on.
Yeah, well, we're going to see several of them. Anyway,
someday, several hundreds years hence, somebody's going to write a terrible musical.
Well, that's not even any of these Pippins, to be
honest. I know,
honest.
But still, avoid the name.
Yes. So Pippin II had been acclaimed king of Aquitaine without the explicit consent of Charles. Right? Charles had not had any involvement.
I think you need the explicit consent of the Holy Roman Emperor. I think that's a stamp that needs to be on that document.
I think you do. I think that's how this whole feudalism thing was supposed to work. Yeah. So Charles wasn't pleased with that. And that is the larger context of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bernard had being a self-starter, but 0 points for going above your pay grade.
Bernard had been a supporter of Pippin II. Mm-hmm. And Sunifred, we know, is very loyal to Louis the Pious, Charles the Bald.
Of course. He's
so
on
now
the side
it's
of the Carolingians.
This, the Carolingian side. Yes. Right. So there's this almost complete change in focus for Barcelona in 844 when Sunifred becomes the count.
Right. It's like, all right, everybody start putting up your Charlemagne, you know, decorations. We're now fans of that family.
Well, yeah, and you might think that Sunifred is like, all right, you know, Bernard's dead. He's been executed. Mm-hmm. We're fine. But the problem does not end because Bernard of Septimania had a son.
Oh, no.
And this guy is William of Septimania.
Oh, well, I got to say, I'm liking the names. I do not have to ask how to spell these names.
Yeah. And we've heard of William before, actually, and we'll talk more about him in his episode. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. But the thing about William is that he has a lot of power and influence in the region because of his father. His father held a lot of countyships, and William also has some of that prestige.
Yeah, he was around when palms were greased. He was around when flattery was given. He knows the names of all the players. It makes sense.
Right. And William believes that he should have been named Count of Barcelona.
Because of course he does.
He should have been given that countyship because his father had it.
Yeah. What is patrilinealism for if not literally for this? Gimme.
Exactly, yes. And William also felt that he should align himself with Pippin II because his father had been allied with Pippin II.
Yeah, but okay. Really?
So what this means is that Sunifred's countship, the tenure of his countship in Barcelona, is really going to be marked by struggles between him and William.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yes. Oh. And we can imagine that these struggles were very interesting and intriguing. There may have been battles. There may have been politics.
Yeah. We've got two guys with amazingly interesting backstories struggling with bitter determination to undermine, if not straight up bump off one another. This is very Game of Thronesy. This could be really good.
It has all the marks of a really juicy story.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, our sources don't really care to say anything about it.
But, they're more interested in what? Clerical taxation or something real fascinating? What?
They're honestly just really more interested in Charles the Bald.
And fair, not an uninteresting guy, but...
Yeah, so it's really quite disappointing.
Very. As I said, I think last time I said, where's Alison Weir when you need her?
I know, exactly. This is ripe. I think I said this is ripe for historical
fiction. She would have made a trilogy out of this.
Yes. Here's what we do know about their rivalry. Okay. In 848, William was made the Count of Toulouse by Pippin II.
Okay.
Yes. So Toulouse is a hugely important county.
Sure.
Right? And so this puts William and Sunifred in direct conflict with each other.
By the way, I imagine there was an immediate memo from Charles saying, no, you're not.
Well, we will get to that in William's episode.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is 848. And then later that year of 848, both Sunifred and his brother Sunior mysteriously died.
Was it mysterious, though? I mean, I know we have to say it was mysterious, but was it mysterious? Or did the Room of Knives and Poison have a couple of guests? I mean,
well, according to the sources we have, yes. Sunifred died of natural causes.
Oh.
We say that straight out.
Wow.
Which, yeah. I mean, that's totally possible for the year 848.
Yes, it's 848. I have a hangnail, and then they had to cut my arm off. Absolutely, that is true.
And
But Sunir, when you die so conveniently
the same year as your brother, and Sunir's death is unknown.
It's not said. It's known.
The sources do not posit any sort of reason. Once again, it's 848. It is not out of the realm of possibility for two brothers who were counts of important counties of the Spanish March to both die in the same year.
I am just going to say, as far as I am concerned, natural causes is in heavy quotation marks and unknown. The un is bracketed.
Yeah, so it seems really, really sketchy that both of them died in the same year. And guess who got their countyships?
I can't imagine.
I can imagine it was William.
Did his friends call him Bill? Is that who took over?
Bill. This is the countship of Sunifred. He was Count of Barcelona for 4 years, from 844 to 848.
It's okay. I mean, and that's not nothing. That's, you know.
Yeah, but mostly what we know about Sunifred has to do with what we know about the rivalry between Charles the Bald and his nephew, Pepin II.
Right. The novel, the HBO series that could be made of this.
Would have been so great.
Probably Stars, but still. this would be great.
Well, all right. Do you want to rate him?
I mean... as best we can, sure.
As best we can, yeah. All right. Our first category is conquistadores. How good were they at battle? How much land did they conquer?
Well,
much like Bernard, Sunifred was apparently pretty good at battle.
Right. I mean, we always have to keep in mind that if you're talking about somebody who beat back a Moorish invasion, that's a big W. We're talking about guys who are real good at fighting.
Both of them gained the interest of the Holy Roman Emperor by pushing back the Moors.
Yeah. If the HRE looks down from the north and says, wow, well done. You did good.
You're doing something right.
Right. And, I mean, obviously we're not talking about somebody who expanded the borders.
No.
So there is that. On the other hand, you know, we have to acknowledge in the case of this particular category, especially during the entire period of the Muslim occupation, you're always in a position to lose land. Like, that's always a very strong possibility.
Yes,
so
it is.
Virtually your entire life is spent in a position of defense. Expansion simply isn't feasible when you have an equal, if not in many cases superior, enemy constantly trying to invade you. So there's a lot to be said. I think we've got to give people like Sunifred a little bit of a pass when we dole out this score.
Right. And then we could also consider the infighting between William of Septimania and Sunifred.
Right. Well, that's going to cost him points because he definitely lost.
No, he didn't come out the winner of that because he ended up dead.
Yeah, exactly. Of natural causes.
Oh, yes. Natural causes, of course.
I believe those natural causes are called, does this soup taste funny to anyone?
I'm so glad we have the Room of Knives and Poison back.
Yeah.
I've been missing it.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say.
It is true, though.
I don't know. What do you want to give?
I mean, I feel like a 3 is fair. He gets points for not losing, given that was very much a possibility. But we do have to really reward expansion with this category. So, yeah, I mean, you showed great competence in not losing any land, but the category is mostly about gaining it, and you didn't do that.
Right. I think I'm going to give it 2. That is a 5 for conquistadores. Our next category is No Me Digas. Which is what kind of scandally stuff did they do?
Well, we're
all right.
Yeah,
the circumstances of his death are pretty murky.
They are.
But we don't have any information about it. We don't really know anything about his personal character.
We've been in this situation before with other monarchs where it's like, we can't give points on spec. Clearly, there's a lot of between the lines stuff. And again, this is very Starks and Lannisters opposition. There's had to have been some shady stuff. We just don't know of any of it because apparently we have to hear all about Charles.
Now, we do have very interesting capitulary that Charles the Bald decided 844 was the correct time to release.
Okay.
So this is after Bernard has died and Sunifred has become the Count of Barcelona.
Yes.
Charles the Bald releases a capitulary addressed to the inhabitants of the County of Barcelona.
Oh, all right.
This is what it says. Quote, "Let the Spaniards know that we have granted them permission to commit themselves in Barcelona to our camp just as other freedmen do. And if anyone receives the benefits from the one to be implemented, you know that you should refer to this board for such service as our men customarily rendered to their lords for civil servants." Mm-hmm. So basically Charles the Bald had to come down to Barcelona and say, okay, we're doing feudalism, right?
Yeah, right.
It's feudalism. He had to come down after Bernard and say, I don't know what you guys were doing before, but it wasn't right. You have to do loyalty to your lords. Your lords have to do loyalty upward on up to me. Remember me, the Holy Roman
Empire. Centralized government is now a thing now, people. It's top down.
I just find it very funny that he felt he needed to release this capitulary after Bernard of Septimania had been count.
Bernard kept cozying up to somebody who wasn't in the proper line of command.
Correct. So it's also pretty telling as to how life was going in Barcelona during Sudafred's time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was probably very by the book, very respecting of the hierarchy of society, not a lot of room for scandal.
Yeah, the district manager had to come down and clean house. So I am absolutely going to follow the employee manual to the letter.
Right. There's not going to be any embezzlement. There's not going to be anything like that.
Hey, I was going to say, everybody's going to clock in and clock out. You are not, no getting somebody to sign your time card. We're doing this proper.
Right. But that kind of means that
it's boring.
It's boring. I have to give him a zero. Nobody would have gossiped about this guy.
Right. No, I mean, I'm going to give him a one because of the whole natural causes thing, but that's the only reason I'm going to do it.
He was probably murdered. That wasn't his fault. Murdered.
No. But it is interesting about him, though.
Yeah.
I'll give him a one.
Yeah, a zero and a one, that makes one point for Nomedia Sunifred. Sorry. Is not your category.
Not your category, sir.
Our third category is Ortodoxia. What did they do for their own faith and religion? How did they promote their religion?
Do we have anything?
I don't really have any information.
Okay.
We could assume that he was just as pious as anybody else.
Why not? Sure.
But there's no record of him building churches. There's no record of him giving money to the poor. There's no personal stories about him being pious.
Right. I recall, I said this last time and I'll say it again. I'm going to give him a few points because he was a Christian who fought back an Islamic invasion. He literally defended his faith. I think that especially when you consider we're very much in that period where Christian culture in particular is portraying the battle with Islam as the battle between, you know, the forces of light and the forces of darkness.
Exactly.
There's no question that his victory over the Moors must have been interpreted and received as a good thing for Christianity in general. In other words, there's no doubt that there were festivals as a result. I mean, he has to get some points for that.
Right, but I can't give him very much.
Oh, no. God, no. I'm giving him a two. But basically, I'm going to give him that because if the idea is you're advancing the cause of your religion, you gave them a big victory against another religion. You know, basically, all right, fine. You did good by your faith in that respect. But you didn't.
I will jump in here and say that you gave a one last time, and I
oh, did I? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
You did.
All right. Well, in that case, no. I felt I got over enthusiastic. No, I will go back to a one. I will absolutely go back to a one.
Okay, and I will give a one, which is what I gave last
time.
Sorry,
I don't want to go too far. He didn't build anything cool, so yeah, no, I have no problem dropping him down to a one. That's fine.
All right, so that is a two total for Orthodoxia.
Fair enough.
Our final category with points is El Resto, and this is going to change probably every single thing about our ranking.
Oh, yes, it is.
So first of all, he ruled Barcelona for 4 years.
Yes.
That's not, you know, he had other longer time periods of ruling other counties in the Spanish March.
He was in position of authority for a while.
Yeah. But as the Count of Barcelona, just four years, which isn't that impressive.
No, it isn't.
He was married. His wife was named Ermesinda.
Right.
And they had three known children, three important children.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the first one is Miro the Elder.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Radolf of Besalú, and both of these children became counts of other counties in the Spanish March, not Barcelona, but others inherited from him. And then the third child is Wilfred the Hairy.
Oh, drum roll, cymbal crash.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we are here now. And this means that Sunifred is the progenitor of the longest dynasty in Spanish history, which lasted until like the late 1400s.
Which is just, that's just jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I mean, unbroken line.
Wow, so impressive. As I think I said last time, there are Chinese imperial families who saw that and stood to applaud. That is impressive. That is a lineage.
Yes, and as the father of Wilfred the Hairy, Wilfred is the one who made Barcelona into an independent county, independent of the control of the Franks.
Yeah. I mean, in the colloquial sense, he made Barcelona.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, literally, yes.
It's sprung
from his loins.
Right. So
how do we rank this?
It's so interesting because we don't have paintings, we don't have coins, but we have the establishment of the most important lineage that Barcelona is ever going to have. As I think I said last time, look, I don't know anything about George Washington's father, but George Washington's father did one thing that was the most important thing ever. And I think we sort of have to give him a decent score because of this.
I think so.
Worth pointing out that all three of his sons become counts.
All three of them become
counts. So, I mean, in addition to what Wilfred does, you've also got two other political dynasties. Probably not as impressive, but still, they're there.
Lots of counts have lots of sons, and only the first one is important, and the others become monks or whatever.
Right, exactly. To use the Dune analogy, you know, Leto the First dies fairly, without having accomplished very much, but when your son is Paul Atreides, you did that. I don't know, what did we give him last time? I'm talking myself up into a fairly high score. What did we give him last
time? What are you feeling? And then I'll tell you what you said last time.
I'm feeling like it has to be like a four. Did I give
you
him
said
more than
five
that?
Last
I said
time.
Five. Okay. Well, I'm not completely gone. All right. No, I mean,
and you specifically said it is partly because you feel bad because he got no other points.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Know what? I do feel bad. I do feel bad, especially about the Nome Digas part. I will give him a five. I think the me of the past was correct.
I also was impressed enough to give a five. Starting that whole legacy is a big thing.
It
raising
is. It's a
three
huge
sons to be
deal.
Counts is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't
Agreed.
Really have any other important, you know, things. Oh, and I mean, he was also murdered. That's a very interesting.
Yeah. Thing. No, absolutely.
I mean, sorry, he died of natural causes,
natural
coincidentally,
causes.
In
Incredibly
the same year as his brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that is a 10 for El Resto, and that means his total score is 18.
Which is not great, but given how he started off, that's, you know, boy, talk about you pulled out an acceptable, but it pulled out a C by the end of the course. That's basically
it could have
what
been
you
much
did.
Worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were looking at Tolga for a second there.
We were looking at Tolga. Well, that's not the last thing we have to decide. We have one final category. We need to decide whether Sunifred deserves to sign the fuero, the medieval charter of rights between a king and his citizens, or whether we tell him fuera, get out.
The scenario that I came up with last time, I will reiterate, is like, no, you have to get out, but we are going to let you come back and witness your son as he signs it hugely. So you get to poke your head in through the window and watch.
Okay? Yeah, he gets to sit in the in the feudal hall and watch.
Exactly. You can watch, but no, you yourself must depart. Sorry.
No, and I agree with that. He's not snazzy enough, not impressive enough to sign the fuero. So unfortunately, Sunifred, we will tell you fuera.
Indeed.
But thanks for playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely, we'll see you back.
So we are not going to do recommendations this time because this is kind of a shorter one. We will do it on the next one for William of Septimania.
Excellent.
And everybody stay tuned for that one.
Yep. All right.
Bye.